Gopal Champu, Chapter 20, Astonishment at Seeing Varuna's Planet and Seeing Goloka. In the morning recital, Snigdhakanta began speaking. Ekadashi, the 11th lunar day, was mentioned. Nanda joyfully observed this vow, which fulfilled all desires every fortnight with dedication. Knowing that only a small portion of the Dwadasi remained for breaking the fast, he entered the Yamuna to bathe before the Dwadasi ended, according to a specific rule. Having entered the water, he fearlessly bathed. He began to meditate on Narayan, praised in the Vedas. From his birth, he had full faith in Narayan. Because he attained Krishna as his son by that worship, he was even more inclined to worship him. Absorbed in meditation, he entered samadhi. At that time, the servants of Varuna, who were roaming everywhere, suddenly approached and took Nanda to the abode of their master. Varuna had produced this splendid abode by his power to obstruct water. It was situated at the bottom of a pool in the Yamuna, within a cavern in the earth. Wise persons could never imagine that the father of Krishna could be brought there. Nanda always thought that by his good fortune Krishna had been born as his son. We see Krishna's excellence, which bestows the bliss of prema, bringing him greater and greater respect. By the influence of Yoga Maya, the assistant in his pastime, situations like the arrival of Putana had arisen to make him think in this way. When the servants brought Nanda, dressed in clothing suitable for vows, in front of Varuna, Varuna recognized him by his tulsi and lotus garland and understood that he had been meditating on Narayana. Extremely frightened, he respectfully put him on an excellent bed furnished with celestial cloth. Understanding that Krishna would not tolerate Nanda being taken away and would come there, Varuna waited at the entrance of his abode in order to see him approaching from afar. What happened in Braj should be described. When Nanda, the protector of Krishna, disappeared from the view of the people whose wealth was dependent on him, they ran in all directions with fear and dove in the water, but not finding him, they returned to the shore. Arriving at the shore, they returned to Braj while wailing in grief and saw Krishna, Balaram, and the others who lamented in front of them. On hearing that most lamentable news, Krishna and Balaram's minds sprang into action. They passed all others and, moving quickly on the earth with zeal, arrived at the place on the river. Krishna embraced his brother and with tears in his eyes spoke to him, "O brother, keep mother free of lamentation and protect the others. Protect them as long as I cannot make them happy by bringing father back. When mother comes here, I will not have completed bringing father here." Speaking in this way, he went to bring back Nanda. Though a lion expands his body on destroying his enemy, Krishna put the lion to shame. Gathering up his lower cloth, he disappeared in the Yamuna into a deep hole. The moment Yashoda and the others arrived and saw Balaram alone, they looked for Krishna and asked, "Where has your younger brother gone?" Seeing that Yashoda was full of grief, he spoke, "O mother, do not be grieved. He will now bring back Nanda and make everyone happy." He said to Rohini, "Oh, why are you beating me? Please trust me and help keep Yashoda alive, since she is barely alive." As in the case of the Kaliya incident, the elders, considering that Balaram's words would cause her recovery, made her relax. However, the people began to consider, "Is this a dream, or are we awake? Have we fainted, or are we insane?" They lost their intelligence completely. With agitated hearts, all they said aloud, however, was, "Oh, Yashoda! Ah, oh, Krishna, where are you?" While four women held up Yashoda, her heart began to burn. They could understand she was alive because she still breathed, but all she said was, "Huh." Krishna, dear to the gopis, entered the hole within the water and approached the abode of Varuna. Please understand the condition of Krishna in that situation. When Nanda arrived at Varuna's abode, Varuna recognized him and quickly went to meet him. Though Krishna's body was black, it appeared red out of anger. Though his eyes destroyed darkness, because of their intense gaze, they were difficult to behold. His quality of softness became ferocious because of anger. His voice was like the rumbling of thunder in a cloud at the time of the final devastation. This astonished all people. Going to Varuna's abode, similar to a hole, Krishna, the maintainer of prosperity in Nanda's dynasty, displayed boldness toward Varuna, thinking, "Where is that Varuna?" When Krishna had increased his powers with a desire to attack him, Varuna, with a cloth covering his throat, touched his forehead to the earth. In great fear, the protector of the water stood at some distance with folded hands and offered respects on the ground. Seeing Varuna's pride crushed, his followers also offered respects on the ground. Lotus-eyed Krishna, dear to all, then desired to show mercy to Varuna and inquired from him, "Where is my worshipful father, the performer of the highest dharma?" Regaining his composure, Varuna spoke sweetly, "O highest lord, a person who resides where you stay and resides nowhere else attains the highest powers and becomes the foremost. I am one among your many servants. How can I follow your order?" Having given up his anger, Krishna spoke with a peaceful heart, "Punishing these insignificant fellows will simply destroy the prowess of the punisher. Quickly, show me the lotus feet of my father. O destroyer of suffering for the fallen souls, I will do as you say." The Lord of the Water covered the path to where Nanda was with the best cloth for Krishna's feet. He brought Krishna, the chief among the best of the cowherds, to that place and said, "O Govinda, affectionate to your father, please take your father. Your father is the object of my worship. I understand who he is. How can I treat him badly? How can he be defeated by any other person?" Krishna freed Varuna from fear of being bound up by exerting his influence. Not seeing Krishna with his eyes, but sensing him by his fragrance, Nanda regained consciousness to the astonishment of the assembled persons. The meditation on Narayana, which began with his bathing in the Yamuna, was now broken. Opening his eyes, he saw Krishna. Immediately his eyes filled with tears. He thought he was still dreaming because of his flow of tears. Krishna touched his feet, raised him up, and embraced him. "O Father, I have come." In this way, he brought him to his senses. Though they both were intensely emotional, fearing that they would be the joke of all-pervading Varuna's followers, to control their hearts and dissipate their tears, Krishna spoke, "O Father, you have been confined here." Nanda looked around. "Where are we?" He looked at the face of his son in astonishment. Krishna said, "O Father, do not do anything else. Just as I have come here, we will return to Braj. Get ready to put your lotus feet in that direction." When they were about to leave, Varuna spoke with piteous words, "O Krishna, you are compassionate. Please either punish me or show me mercy, but do not let my offense remain. Offense will not cease without punishment or mercy." As the two of them were leaving, they stood there for a moment. Varuna offered various gifts at their feet and paid his respects. He accompanied them to the edge of the hole. When they came to the hole, he made the water part for them. He gave to those assigned to take Krishna and Nanda to Braj the best ornaments and cloth, and feeling momentary joy, returned to his abode dancing while thinking himself successful. During this time, the people of Braj remained lifeless on the bank of the river. Waiting for Nanda and Krishna to appear again, they had slight symptoms of life. But when they saw the two returning with Varuna's servants, they fainted in bliss. Only Balaram approached them and offered respects. Nanda, giving him great happiness, embraced him, and losing external awareness, remained stunned for a moment without speaking. As Balaram offered repeated respects, Krishna came so quickly that no one could see, and he first brought his mother to consciousness by contact with his sweet touch, then he revived the others. When Nanda had arrived, they all approached Krishna and Nanda, being aware of nothing else. But Nanda and Krishna were aware of all of them, no matter what their status. The roar of cows lowing, people chattering, flowers falling from heaven, along with music, dancing, and recitation of verses, rose up in competition with each other. Balaram protected all the animals and directed everyone to suitable places in a sweet voice. Balaram made Nanda sit on a white cloth and arranged sitting places for all others. He then asked what had happened to his brother who was sitting next to him. Hearing the narration of events, he then told this to the coward people. They invited the Brahmanas to come at their will and fed them sweet rice and gave them desirable gifts in profusion. Fearing profoundly that they would trespass the Dwadasi, they prayed that the vow would be completed without fault and made sure that they finished the vow with the words and blessings of the Brahmanas. Considering themselves successful, they returned to Braj. Walking along the path, Nanda looked effulgent between his two sons. The speaker, finishing his narration, then spoke to Nanda. "Where is the question of you being bound by Varuna? There is no fear since your son has great power." On another day, when Krishna was absent from the assembly, the cowards inquired from Nanda about the wondrous events that took place at Varuna's palace. Nanda profusely praised the great prosperity of Varuna, which is beyond human comprehension. "O friends, hear the wonder." He then described the great reverence that the inhabitants displayed for Krishna. After Nanda's description, they were all astonished in their hearts and they thought as follows on thinking that perhaps Krishna was the Supreme Lord. Even if it is true that he is the Lord because of his indestructible power of knowledge, he is the abode of great natural affection and the giver of complete bliss. Because of this, our minds are always eager to see his excellent qualities which destroy all longing. Will he show us this excellent without restriction? Recognizing all these people, both his relatives and others, as non-different from himself, he began to contemplate, attracted to them by his mercy, and quickly falling under their control. "Ah, all of these are my own people. They are now thinking of me as the Supreme Lord and desire to experience my greatness, which cannot be fully experienced. But they cannot realize my real greatness, since it is similar to what they have already known. They have lost their discrimination and thus consider their and my appearance in this world to be a mundane appearance, which gives destinations for the jivas through their ignorance, lust, and karma." In this way, all the coward men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, enjoyed topics about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great transcendental pleasure, and they could not even perceive material tribulations. They had offered to Krishna everything, their very selves, their families, their wealth, wives, and all pleasures. Those cowards had dedicated everything to lotus-eyed Krishna. My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions, which you bestow upon these residents of the coward community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relatives, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you? Thus they have great prema which controls me. When their minds become stunned in separation from me, it is not because of ignorance. I can never consider that their prema is similar to the prema of others. Caring for me in many ways, they have developed desire arising from bewilderment, which is actually prema for me. From the beginning, I have been bound by the obligation to them, though I do not give the opportunity to become obliged to any other devotees. I am a debtor to them, and they are creditors to me. When they give everything to me, their condition is my condition. My supreme power is obedience to them. It is not possible to surpass them. Nanda, who was astonished on seeing the powers of Varuna, is a cause of sorrow for me, for I can never become absorbed in prema for him and others as much as they are absorbed in prema for me. Thinking about this subject, I will now make them realize their own greatness through an experience of Yogamaya filled with auspicious meditation. After thinking in this way, on another day, Nanda and the cowherds were present in the assembly with brahmanas at the city gate, as recounted in the Varaha Purana. They thought that if they bathed on the full moon of Kartik month in Brahma Rada, which gave blessings to Akrura, they would quickly receive the full results for their desires. Thinking this action to be the best, they went to Brahma Rada with their cowherd relatives in the early morning. Krishna went along with them and submerged himself in the river and then went to the bank. He then showed them Goloka, full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, endowed with form, taste, fragrance, touch, and sound by its spiritual nature, which is not revealed even to Atmaramas, since it is covered by the Lord's energy so that no one can see it. That place is called Brahmaloka, a planet with the human form of the Supreme Brahman visible by withdrawing the curtain as if revealing a wonderful picture. They saw that Krishna, the Tilak of their family, was sitting among cowherds similar to themselves. The Vedas personified were singing praises of Krishna's pastimes starting from his birth. This confirmed the powers of Krishna to the cowherds. Seeing Krishna with his people in Brahmaloka, the inhabitants of Braja gave up lamentation, felt increasing happiness because of bliss mixed with astonishment. Krishna, the enemy of the demons, then separated the people of Braj from Goloka in order to complete his pastimes of afflicting the demons on earth. The speaker concluded as follows: O Nanda, you have given birth to a son who conquered the planet of Varuna and showed you and your people this planet. I offer respects to Krishna who revealed Goloka and showed that the cowards reside within Goloka and Goloka takes shelter of them. After revealing the events in the morning, the evening events were related. Snigdhakanta began speaking. When Krishna went to the planet of Varuna with his father, it is false to say that Radha and the other gopis remained here. What should I say? An inanimate object experiences nothing, and a conscious being experiences joy and sorrow and cannot attain a state of void. When Krishna went to retrieve his father, Radha's life went with Krishna. When Krishna returned, Radha's life suddenly returned. This situation has been skillfully described by the poets. When Krishna returned from Varuna's planet, the wise, affectionate Purnamasi observed Radha coming with Krishna. In the evening, she made known to the couple the longing within the other and expressed in words in front of them the other's internal feelings. The longing fixed in Radha. O Creator, if you bring me to other people without service to Krishna, then at least give me a method so that I can be happy seeing the beauty of his face, so that I will not suffer because of separation from him. The longing fixed in Krishna. I delivered my worshipable father from Varuna's planet and made everyone happy. Ah! Out of sorrow for me, has not Radha withered away with choked voice? The meaning of this statement is that she does wither away with her broken cries. Purnamasi described Radha's emotions to Krishna and Krishna's emotions to Radha in private and particularly scolded him. O Madhava, what resides in your heart other than Anurag? This gives you joy, but it is certainly because of this that golden Radha has become white. Determining that Krishna's body had become liquid because of affection, she then said with a laugh, O Madhava, you are full of good qualities by which you attract Radha from far away. Radha is full of affection by which, even residing in her house, she melts your heart. Madhukanta then said, Who is this old woman? You have previously said that it is not possible for other people to enter their pastimes. Snigdhakanta said with a smile, Purnamasi enters there in various dresses. From that time, Krishna began playing attractive songs on his flute every day at midnight. That is not a lie. The women waited for this. He or someone is the archer who destroys their dharma with his arrows. When Krishna made a sudden appearance as Spurti everywhere, while she was in the house, while she was sleeping, churning the yogurt, standing amongst people, or was in the water or in the forest, Radha's pain simply increased because of not attaining him. She became depressed on not being able to see or touch him. To conclude, he said, O Radha with youthful limbs, you have a lover, Kanti, by whose desire you become his supreme object. The word Kanti means beauty and desire.